The Step Workshop. My name is Chaim, and I am a sexaholic.
Chaim.
So, to bring it into step five, where, you know, we finished out step four last week. To be able to take our fears, our resentments, the harms we've done, and our sex conduct list, and to be able to bring that to a sponsor, in my experience, is basically, for the first time in my life, for me to be able to get real. To be able to get real, to be able to get honest. My whole life, I taught myself to become a natural liar. I needed to, because if you really know who I am, there's no way you'll love me. Step five is a place where I find a person, where I find God, where I find myself in its truth, in its essence. I think step five is a real bear hug from God. It's a real God just saying, I love you, you know, and I accept all of you. You know, I always felt like I could go to a strip club, but as long as I don't tell anybody I went to a strip club, it's almost like God doesn't know about it yet. You know what I mean? To be able to tell it to my sponsor, to be able to tell it to myself, to be able to say the words out of my mouth, you know, that I want to have an affair, that I want to go and masturbate. Yesterday I was in, I did a workshop in Muncie, and like I walked outside right before I was about to talk, and God is so amazing. I'm on the phone with my wife, and I shared with her how I don't know why I'm here. Like I feel like I graduated the first levels of recovery, and I was just sharing my truth, my feelings, you know. And as I walk outside of the hotel, there's a blonde sitting there. And the next words were, you know, I turned around. I made a slow turnaround, but I turned around. And I walked back in, and the next words were to my wife, I know why I have to be here. You know, and I just got triggered being outside. There was a woman over there. To be able to say my truth out, who I am, not to hide, not to fake anymore. This is who I am. I'm a broken sexaholic. I want sex. I want lust. I'm willing to kill myself for it. I'm willing to give everything up for it. To finally come over to my sponsor and tell him, this is the wreckage of my past. This is the pain. This is the trauma. This is the insanity. It's like, what a gift. I could finally be me and still be loved. You know, anytime I spoke to anybody in the past, I had to manipulate the words I used. And I had to be careful that if I say a curse word, it's a problem. If I say a spiritual word, it's a problem. If I say something that other person's not, it's a problem. For today, just to be able to talk freely, to be able to give freely, like what a gift. What a gift to be able to just get it all out for the first time. I think we all could identify with the feeling of, I'm going to die, but this I'll never tell anybody. You know, the freedom of, I could tell hundreds of people exactly who I am. And when the fear comes up, I have a fear inventory that I could actually write it out. And one of my biggest fears was telling my sponsor, I'm fearful to tell you everything that I have in my brain, because I think if you knew who I really am, there's no way you could love me. And today I could tell anybody anything I've done. There's zero secrets. To be able to have that with God, with my wife, with friends, with all the people in the world, is God's bear hug to me. It's God's bear hug to all of us in recovery. So if you're in the middle of your fourth step, keep on plugging away. Keep it again dumb and simple. Just make the checks. Watch how big God is in our lives. We don't have to really, you know, understand it all. And then find somebody. Find a sponsor. Find somebody who you can literally just walk over to and tell it over. And the beauty is it brings it back into my life in all areas. After the last workshop, a guy walked into the meeting, into this room right after the workshop is over, and you know, he came over to me at the end of the last workshop, and he mentioned to me he didn't approve of something I said. And the only reason why I think he came late to the next workshop was because he was angry at me. And in the past, I would walk around and smile at him, and he would smile at me, and we'd both say, hey buddy, how, what's going on? And meanwhile, I'm boiling inside. To be able to turn around to him and tell him, you know, I have an issue. It's called very low self-esteem. And I'm scared that you don't like me. And I think the reason you came late was simply because, you know, you disapproved of something I had to say. And for him to tell me back, that's not why I came late. It happens to be I woke up late and I rushed my head off and I'm sorry that I came late. To be able to stop being normal humans, to be able to do that all the time with my wife, with regular people, to be able to be honest, to be able to stop my shiur yesterday in front of 50, 60 people and to be able to say I just got triggered outside. There's no shame anymore. This is who I am. To be able to say that I wake up in the middle of the night with an erection all the time and the only thing I need to do is go to the bathroom and pee. That's it. That's what I was taught. To be able to be me, to be real for once and for all, not to tell you what you want to hear, but rather to tell you who I am, what a gift. What a gift. It really keeps me sober. And on one hand, the program is so simple. On the other hand, you need to pick up these fine tools in program. Because otherwise you don't stay sober. You need these tools to be able to communicate that. When I'm on the phone with somebody, I'm surrendering law, I feel lustful. I was taught a program that means nothing. I don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what I'm talking about. Connect with the person. I saw a blonde woman who was 6 feet tall and her skirt was by that inch. And I am triggered. And I want to grab her breasts. That's saying my desire to you. You then don't have to go into fantasy of what I mean by lust, because I told you what it means. And then you could surrender and I could surrender, and there's two humans surrendering and bringing to God, two broken people. It's special, it's unique. Step five is very, very important. Again, in the white book, I would strongly suggest reading in the white book, you know, just having that oneness to God. This is where God feels that closeness to you. You don't want to miss it out. And even if you didn't finish your whole step, call up your sponsor. This is not a religion that first you need to exactly do it like this. Then you need to exactly call up your sponsor and get started. Just tell it to him over. Watch the miracle happen. Other than that, trying to really keep this just very simple and basic, I would suggest on step five is everybody reporting back on Wednesday. Something they would just like to share. This is my resentment. This is who I'm resentful at. I'm sorry. What's an example? You know, friend. The reason I'm resentful is because he gives me bad vibes. You know, I feel intimidated. You know, what does that harm? My financial feelings, because I think he can make money, I can never make money. It hurts my pride. He seems like he gets all the attention and shul, I don't. It hurts my ambitions. He seems like he could do anything. Next, what's my part in it? My part in it is I compare my insides to his outsides. You know, that's something terrible. My part in it is I'm judging him. My part in it is I'm looking elsewhere. Instead of looking this way, I'm looking that way because I'm feeling uncomfortable. You know, to be able to bring back to the group, let's say, 4 or 5 examples of exactly that. What's my partner? And the same thing with the fears. Fears is a huge one. Most people end up acting out in recovery, not even so much for resentments. In my opinion, it's the fear, the fear. The fear kills us. And the same thing, what is my part in the fear? What is my part in everything? So to keep it dumb and simple, to be able to bring back a few examples, whoever's willing to just share those examples, you know, should share it. Whoever is not interested in sharing it, still keep coming back. And if you are sober, and if you are up to step five, and you're working on it, you should get sponsees. You really, really should. And you should, if you have a hard time getting sponsees, pray for them. Put yourself out there, walk over to people, but get sponsees. Sponsees keep you sober more than you keep them sober. That's my experience. You know, and I guess that's it. Does anybody have any questions or anything they want to add? Good.
How often do you repeat the fourth step?
How often do I repeat the fourth step? So how often do I repeat the fourth step? I usually, since I'm in recovery in the 8 years, I repeated it with actual writing only twice. But I do it on a weekly, monthly basis. When a problem comes up, I just do it. I right away just make a phone call, and it usually goes along the lines of, I'm very fearful. I'm fearful of last week. I had a very tough time in business, and it's really affecting me. It's hurting my self-esteem. I'm feeling down. I'm feeling depressed. I'm feeling I'm never going to have enough money. No matter how much money I make, it all disappears. What's my part in it? I don't trust God. I think I'm in control. I think that that everybody else in the world is making money. I'm comparing myself to others. The main thing for me, I repeat time and again, is God, 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 God. I believe I am God. If God would run the world according to me and not me. So I do like a quick, just like four-step inventory like that, and then I just simply say, God, take away the fear. Dumb and simple. It's not where, and some people do it different, you know, where once a year they sit down with the sponsor and they do a fourth step again. It would help me. I'm not against it. It would help me. The more recovery you do, the more it helps. It's simple. But what I do is generally I try to do it in my daily life.
What is a sponsor going to help you with? Why help with this?
So why would a sponsor help for the fifth step? Sponsor helps for the fifth step very much. Is usually the sponsor, usually when I'm uncomfortable and making phone calls, or I'm feeling I took an action of lust and I'm trying to figure out why it wasn't an action, and then your sponsor calls you and he just blurts out the action of lust that he took, it just opens you up, it gets it real. Or you're trying to isolate because you're feeling resentful at the program, and then all of a sudden a sponsor calls you and just shares gratitudes of what the program has done, it keeps you in the fresh, in the know. If all of a sudden the feelings of I had enough of this work in this program, and then on a daily basis, I'm automatically getting four or five phone calls just by the fact that I have that many sponsors. So whether I want to be in recovery or not, I'm automatically in it. And I need to get honest.
People told me that it's not right for guys to call people and offer to sponsor them, to come from them. Is that, people do that?
So the question on the table is it right to go over to people and say, hey, if you would like me to sponsor you, I'm available?
Yeah.
Because if I do that, it could hurt that person's feeling. It's supposed to come
no,
from that person.
It's supposed to come from him. Like,
it's supposed
like
to come from him. It's not supposed to come for you. So again, there's no, this is not like a rule book. Again, this is not like halacha. This is not, it must go this way. Happens to be when I was in, first before the story, to keep it simple, it's a selfish program. If I feel I need a sponsor, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I really don't care about you, to be honest. I need to stay sober. You know what I mean? To be honest, I need to stay sober. I'm going to do it in a gentle way. I'm going to do it in a respectful way. I'm going to do it in a calm way, but I need to stay sober. When I was in Nashville, I was at a meeting before the convention started. And I'm sitting at the meeting, and there's a guy straight across me, like where you're sitting, and the guy is just crying his lungs out. Just crying his lungs out. How he wants to commit suicide, and he had enough of life, and he's in so much pain, and the pain got that bad that he doesn't know what to do with himself, and this is his last hope. He's coming to this convention, and it's either this or nothing. He's done. And he's just crying, and something inside of me just, you know, touched me in a way of like, the guy finally, and I know this guy in program, finally just gave up. Finally hit his bottom. I felt the bottom. You know when a guy in program, if you've been around the wall, you know a guy who's working the program but really never gave up yet? And then you see people who finally, they hit the bottom. Whatever you tell them, they'll do. Whatever, they're willing to go to any lengths. And I felt it in that guy. And I took a deep breath, and I knew he's drunk, so you have to be, like, careful. And I walked over to him, and I asked him, can I sponsor you? And he told me I need to ask my sponsor, you know? And I smiled, and he smiled, and he, even in his drunkenness, recognized, like, what the hell is he even saying, you know? And he took a deep breath, and he said, yeah. And I started to sponsor him then. And the guy, we worked the 12 steps together. We went through all 12 steps. The guy stayed sober for a year and a half, put his life back together, built his marriage back, was accepted back into his house. Everything, like, turned around. And then, slowly but surely, he all of a sudden, like, started to do it all away from program. And I gave him an ultimatum. You're either going to work the program or I'm not sponsoring you. I don't sponsor people that don't work the program. As some people know. So we started to have this like, well, and then one day he called me up. He acted out terribly. And I asked him again the same question that I asked him back then. I said, did you hit your bottom? Are you willing to go to any lengths? If not, I'm sorry. You're very sick and I'm very sick. And I need people working the program in my life. You know, I can't help you. And he was on the way to close out a $40,000 business deal that he had in his pocket. And he said, what does it mean being willing? I said, turn around your car. And he turned around his car. And he lost the $40,000 business deal. The guy's sober now. He's celebrating, I think, 18 months again now. So for me, I just got to do the right next thing. There's no rule book. No, this is the way to do it, and if you do it this way, then it's good, but if you don't do it this way, it's not good. Anything else? What $40,000 deal did I lose? He confronted me on that. Okay, let's wrap it up. Shkai.